I had a boss years ago when I was in the Air Force, and he had a show car, and his show car he would take, and he had a trailer for it, and he had a special spot in the garage or his shop that he would put this car in, and he would take it to the shows and he'd wheel it out. He never started the car, never started it. It was fine-tuned. And I would talk to him about it, and I'm like, well, it was a beautiful car. And I'm thinking to myself, it goes in a trailer, doesn't even see sun. If it's an outdoor show, they cover it up afterwards. I mean, it's trailered, it's barely out, it's barely visible. And so he puts it in this trailer, and then he takes it to show. And he goes, it's a horrible thing if the judges come around, because they can make you start the car to make sure that it actually does operate as part of the show. He goes, they normally don't do it. But he goes, if they do, he takes apart the entire engine and redoes everything again just because he started it once. Never gets used. And I thought to myself, and you're okay with that? And he goes, absolutely. And I said, don't you ever want to take that thing out on a Sunday drive? And he goes, no, I wouldn't even consider it. Would not even consider it. It is just for show. And I thought to myself, as a Christian, I'm like going, how do we fare when we look at the gifts that we've been given? Are we showing, or are we just keeping them, I'm going to kind of keep this really, really inside. And so to me, for him, it was completely awkward to think about driving this car. Like, what if something happened to it? You know, this is just to show. It's just for display only. And it was a beautiful, beautiful car. And I thought about that. And I'm like going, having and not using. And so how does that fit into it? So I'm kind of doing a little sharing that's kind of based along that line. Uncomfortable messes. Okay? And this is kind of a funny thing, because a couple scriptures we're going to look at are not really common scriptures, but I thought they were kind of unique and kind of built a little teaching around it. Hosting a dinner. How do you feel about that on Christmas, Wendy, after you look around and there's basting pans and stuff everywhere? And it's the amount of work cleanup is probably almost as much as it is to prepare and get everything ready. And so doing it, it's a mess. It's a mess. All the cooking, everything that takes place for it. Confronting a problem. How many people want to go and talk to somebody? Hey, I really need to talk to you about a problem you got here. Okay? Nobody wants to do it. It's in what we would call an uncomfortable mess. Arguments. People avoid them because they don't want the messes. Teaching the word to unbelievers. Okay? If you know that somebody's living worldly and you try to go to them, you're like going, it's going to make them uncomfortable. It's going to make me uncomfortable. And so this is where we're looking at uncomfortable messes. Avoidance equals no mess. So an easy way to go away from that is just to avoid the whole thing. You just disregard it. Okay, I'll do my thing, they do their thing, we just kind of go away. But is the mess worth the reward? And that's where we're going to look at and see. It's easier to just stay out of it and leave it be than it is to confront it and go after it. And now it becomes possibly what's considered a mess. Let's start off here in Matthew 24. And we are going to be on page 28, I believe, of the New Testament. Everybody there? Who would like to read 45 through 48? And then I'll let somebody else read 49 through 51. Okay, thank you.
45 through 48?
Mm-hmm.
Who then is the faithful and prudent servant whom the master has appointed over his household to give them food in season? Happy that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, over all his substance will he appoint him. But if that wicked servant should say in his heart, my master delayeth.
Who would like to read 49 through 51?
Me.
Okay, go ahead.
And began to be striking his fellow servants and eating and drinking with the drunken. The master of that servant will have come on a day when he is not expecting, and in an hour when he is not observing, and will cut him
asunder
and his part with the
hypocrites
will appoint. There shall be
Wailing
and gushing of teeth.
Gnashing of teeth. Very good. And so what we're seeing here is we're seeing kind of a story here about the good servant who takes care of and feeds those people and the ones that do not. And so as we look at this it's a pseudo parable, if you will, about the good servant and then the bad servant and what will happen and not knowing when this is going to take place. And this kind of lines up with what we're looking at when we're discussing what we have and what we're using within Yahweh's word. Serving Yahweh and Yehoshua does not mean that life is going to be always peachy, always great, that there's going to be things that come up. It's not going to be easy, neat, or tidy all the time. There's going to be things that are going to be really tough, okay? When you have to go and confront somebody, when you have to tell the truth, somebody's saying something and you're like going, wait a minute, that's not what the word says. How many times have you heard somebody misquote the word? And you're like, oh, and you know, oh, it says in the Bible that, you know, God helps those who help themselves. Like, where? Yeah, well, it's not in there. Okay, it does not say that. And so this is where we're talking about that. It's not always easy, neat, and tidy. Okay, here's where we're going to do a lot of our focus in here. Flip over here to the left in the Old Testament.
It's like Justin Bieber.
Oh, that ox didn't do anything to deserve that. 14:4. I love that hairdo. Yeah. Like the old Beach Boys, huh? 14:4. Melania, are you already there?
No, what page is it?
619. Okay, and this is kind of an interesting deal as you look through there. So I'll go ahead and read this. It's on page 619, 14, verse 4. Without cattle, the crib is clean, but much increase is the strength of the ox. Okay? So kind of funny here that, you know, nowadays the slang for a place to live is a crib. Well, here it is right here. Who knew that the word was long before? Without cattle, the crib is clean, but much increases the strength of the ox. And this is where we're going to take a look at that. We're going to kind of break this down. Tension between the desire for a clean barn and the need for a working barn. What comes in when the barn's full? Okay? When you have the ox stalls, okay, what comes with that? Yeah, I'll never forget. I helped a girlfriend one time when I was in high school, and they were loading cattle. And her brother and her father were both on the amateur pro bull riding tour, whatever that they had in that area. And they would practice roping. They were team roping. And so they needed help loading all the calves up in the stalls and whatnot. And then there were gates, and I'd be, oh, I'll come help you, because they needed extra people to do it. And I'm doing it, and you'd load them into these chutes, and as you loaded them in these chutes, it would keep them from turning around or spinning around. And you had these boards that you would put in between so they couldn't back up. As soon as you got them in, they were supposed to be head to butt, and then you load a board in between them so they couldn't back up, and then they're rearing to go forward, they're ready to go. And so we get them all in there, and I mean, there's, you know, 2x4s all over the place, and I'm out there, I mean, I'm a city slicker as you can possibly be, and I get out there and I grab this board and I shove it back there, and about the time I shove it through, that calf just let loose. And I'm standing there just looking at my hands going, there's no clean dirt to wipe this on. I'm sure not going to wipe it on my pants. And I'm thinking to myself, and they all started laughing. They thought that was funny. And they said, well, you can't be a cowboy without getting it on you. And I'm like going, I don't think I want to be a cowboy. This isn't very fun. But this is where it comes to, where you're like going, it's part of it. It's part of the experience. Nobody wants it, okay? Cows poop. There's a fact. And so when we look at it with the barn, when we look at the ox, and so what I see here, when I say that the tools that people aren't using, what I'm referring to is this. Having a clean barn is presentable. Hey, come out, check out my barn. It's really clean. Look, I've got potpourri over here. I've got candles burned over here. Looks great. It looks great. But there's no harvest. There's zero harvest. And I think to myself, the harvest is our future. It's what we are going to gain and what we're going to get. And so this is where we're referring to it. So the clean barn versus the working barn. A working barn you come into and you're like going, oh yeah, I don't even have to open the door to tell that there are ox in this barn. Okay, I can smell it. But that's a working barn. Tension between inclusive or exclusive. Inclusive meaning it's everybody. I just distribute myself 100% to everywhere I go. Okay? Everywhere I go. Exclusive would mean I don't talk to anybody. I don't do anything with anybody. This is just me. I just do it. And so there's no saying one's right for one and one's right for another. Each person has a balance, and Yahweh's made us each is in a way that we have talents and skills that we can use to find that blend. In reach or outreach? In reach would be saying, I'm going to really mentor somebody here within our group to really bring them up, to disciple them, if you will. Outreach would mean I'm going to go out and I'm going to speak to the unbelievers, the people that have not heard. And there's not saying that you should be doing one versus the other. It's a balance. What's the balance? And that's where each person has to come up with it. Hey, Yahweh, where today? What do you need from me today? Okay. But by doing this, we start filling the barn. And filling the barn is where we're referring to having the treasure, having the grain stored away, if you will. Tensions are always part of a Christian life. The ox. Let's take a look here at the ox, because we're going to kind of dissect this down. The purpose of the crib or the barn is not to be clean, but to be filled with grain from the harvest. And we see that throughout the word when you look at this there, that to have the harvest, they would actually store the grain in the barns. Okay, now that kind of sounds weird, but yes, they would. They would store it in there. The more oxen, the greater the harvest. The more oxen, the more mess. Okay, but if you wanted to expand, Yahweh, I need more land. I need this. And now to till it, it required more to do it. And by getting more, you're going to reap more harvest. You're also going to have more poop to deal with. Okay, you have more mess to deal with. And so this is the thing. And so for people who are like, oh, Yahweh, I really want to expand out for you. Guess what? Good. Yahweh wants that. The inheritance is great, but you may subject yourself to a little bit more mess. And that's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine, but this is part of it. The more oxygen, more oxen, the greater the harvest. The ox was the tool to do what man could not do by himself. And you have to think about that. Nowadays you have John Deere, you have like New Holland, you have all these tractors to replace this. Back in the day, the ox was your tool. Okay, he was what you couldn't do. You could not, I mean, you see the old things where they'd have those huge shovel plows and they put it in and you'd have one guy and he'd be turning over, I mean, he'd be turning over 12, 14 inches of dirt at a time while the ox was pulling it. Okay, and so that was your tool. Trade-off or balance between. Because here's what you had to have. Guess what? It's the same way with having a tractor. I have a tractor, therefore I have to have a ton of hydraulic fluid, diesel fluid, have maintenance on it, all these things, but it's a little bit easier than the ox were back in the day because they required food, they required shelter, they required water, they required a pen, a place to keep them so they didn't wander off. So it was all building up. Well, that's not fun. I mean, building up a pen to keep your ox in is not putting any grain in, not then. It's all part of the preposition or building up to that point. The ox, and now we're going to look at some of the symbology, if you will, of the ox and what the ox represents. So as we look through here the word, which is kind of a neat thing, it's a servant or a laborer. Okay, and what's Yahweh called us to do? We are created to labor. We are supposed to labor. So when you hear people like, in Cyprus, I think it was when I was over there, that they could fully retire at 50 years old. Okay, I am 51 years old. Okay, and I can't imagine that. It's a miserable existence to do that. We are made to labor. We're made to work. And so by virtue of this, this is what a servant is. And the ox represents that as well. Pull a plow, ground flour. Because you have to remember, the ox did not just pull the plow. You remember the little circular things where they put the ox on it and it would draw water. Yeah. It would grind wheat. It would do it. This was the workhorse. So they could maximize their efforts and cut down on their own by having the ox and to pull a cart. This is kind of neat. This came from Adam Clark, which is part of the online Bible. I'm going to read this. The ox is the most profitable of all the beasts used in husbandry. And everybody knows what husbandry is. That's not where the woman always tells the husband that he has to do everything, but it's the raising of livestock, except merely for speed. Okay? This is a drawback of the ox. It's not fast, okay? Except merely for speed, he is almost in every aspect superior to the horse. Lives longer. Not subject to the same diseases. He's steady and pulls fair in his gears. In other words, he's slow. He's got basically one speed. But once he gets in that speed, it's a steady speed where the horse may kind of fluctuate. If you have a team of horses, you've got to keep them all together. You can put two ox together and they'll both pull the exact same weight at the same time. Okay? Which leads me to where I think about that where Yahweh says, don't be unevenly yoked. If you have a ox and a horse yoked together, the ox is going to be pulling the horse and the horse is going to be yanking against it and it's not evenly yoked. Okay? Number four. And when it says pulls in the gear, that's what you're talking to, the yoke. When you're in the yoke, what's required? That's the pulling. He lives, fattens, or builds up fat, maintains his strength on what a horse will not eat. Okay? And therefore is supported on a third of the cost. So it's more cost effective to the farmer as well. His manure is more profitable, okay, which is a thing. You think about that. You're like going, golly, it's a mess. But that mess, people pay for that. Nowadays you can go order a truckload of ox mess, okay? And they'll deliver it to you and you put it all over your products or your crops and it helps them to grow. But it was more profitable. When it's worn out of its labor, his flesh is good for nourishment of men, his horns of great utility, and his hide is almost invaluable. It might be added he has little or no expense in shoeing. In other words, you really don't have to shoe them, or if you do, very minimal. And his gears are much more, the yoke and the equipment to yoke him are much more simple and much less expensive than those of a horse. In all large farms, oxen are greatly to be preferred to horses. But have patience with this most patient animal. You will soon find that there is much increase by the strength and labor of the ox. Okay, and this is where we see it. This is the labor, not fast, but steady, steady, all the way through, a steady pace to keep working and keep laboring. If you look up in the Strong's Concordance, you see there, I just kept the two words out there for 14.4. There are two separate words for it, oxen and ox. And you see the 504 here, okay, where no oxen are, that's this word right here. Ethlef, I guess is how you would say that. And it just means cattle or oxen, okay? But you see this here, the from 502, and take a look at that. 502 is the association of this word, and it's to teach or learn or to utter, which is kind of a neat thing. Because in the word, we look at it, there's a few occasions where it comes out where it's basically a teacher. An ox is used as a symbology of a teacher or a leader or somebody who is learning, teaching somebody something new. Okay? The other word here, this 7794, is shore. And you see it down here, bull, ox, head of cow, for plowing, for food, or as a sacrifice. Okay? We do not see in the Old Testament, at least that I'm aware of, sacrificing horses. Okay, there was never, I can't recall the time that there was a horse called to be sacrificed to Yahweh. Okay, but oxen were, and lambs were, and sheep, and the other animals were as well. But this is, the ox definitely was. Okay, it was one of them that was called as a sacrifice. And we're gonna kind of see some symbology here. You don't have to turn here, okay, because it's already on here. 1 Timothy 5, the elders, those that toil in discourse and teaching are compared to the ox during the threshing. Okay? And this is it right here. Okay? So 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18. Let the well presiding elders of double honor be accounted worthy, especially they who toil in discourse and teaching. For the scripture saith, a threshing ox shall not muzzle, and worthy is the workman of his hire. Okay? And so what we're seeing is here, if you go back, the reference to this goes all the way back to Deuteronomy. It says you are not allowed to muzzle a threshing. Now when you're talking about threshing, you're talking about harvesting in. Okay, that this is what we're referring to, that the ox was not to be muzzled. Well, now you think about that. If you were, you know, pour out dog food in front of a dog, and what's it going to do? It's going to eat. Okay, the ox was told, it was a commandment not to muzzle the ox. The ox would eat while it was threshing. In other words, it would be partaking at the same time it was helping benefit and do the increase. Okay, and this is where this comes from. As I say, a threshing ox shall not muzzle, and worthy is the workman of his hire. Let's flip over to Amos. Famous Amos.
Elisha had 12 oxen that he killed, right?
That's right. And I think about that where they had the brazen oxen that was the fount or something. It was that they had them all. Was that part of the temple?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like going, I saw a picture, a replica of that, and I'm like going, that is really, really cool. Carrying all of it is what it showed in there. Anyways, Amos 4:6.
Okay.
We're going to be on 875. Four, six.
Tony, could you do me a favor? Would you mind closing that back door there? It's kind of reflecting right in my eyeballs. Thank you.
Eight.
4:6. Who? Which kid hasn't read yet? Okay.
Mine and Esther both have one.
Okay. Who's there? Who's the first one to get to read?
Me.
Okay, 875. Verse 6.
Moreover, also I have given you cleanness of teeth, so throughout all your kids, and want a bread, so throughout all you dwelling places, ye yet have ye not returned unto me. Declares Yahweh.
Okay, and so this is an honor. We got to read this. Let's read the context of this, because what we're hearing, you have to be able to understand what we're saying. More also, I have given you cleanness of teeth. You know what that means?
No food.
You got no food in there. Think about going to a barbecue and you have barbecue sauce and ribs hanging out between your teeth. Okay, no food. There's no food. That's why you have cleanness of teeth. I've given you cleanness of teeth. Okay, that's not something you want. Okay, you want, because what that's meaning is you're hungry, you're going without, and want of bread. Okay, that the people are hungry throughout all your dwelling places, and yet you have not returned unto me, declareth Yahweh. And so we see this. Boy, it would be better to have the dirty teeth, because at least I have food and nourishment within my body. But this is where I look at that, and I'm like going, this actually, when you looked in the reference notes for 14:4 of Proverbs, it came up on almost every single one of them, that this is what they're saying, the cleanness. When you sacrifice one thing for another, what are you sacrificing? So when you're sacrificing to have the clean barn, you have nothing to put in your belly when it's time to eat. Same thing. And why? Because of not following Yahweh's words, not following his ordinances. Let's flip over to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 9. It's going to be 172. Nine and ten. Melania, as soon as you get there, sweetheart, page 172 of the New Testament.
Nine.
Mm-hmm. Left side.
For in the law of Moses it is written, thou shalt not muzzle an ox when it is treading out the corn. It is for the oxen Yahweh is caring, or for our sakes altogether is he saying it? For sakes it was written, because he that ploweth ought to plow in hope, and
He that threshes
to thresh in hope of partaking.
That's that. That's exactly it. And so I enjoy this because of the fact that it refers back to, and you see it down at the bottom, it's Deuteronomy, where that comes from, the commandment. And is it for the oxen Yahweh is caring, or for our sakes altogether? Is he saying it? For our sakes is written, because he that ploweth ought to plow in hope, and he that threshes to thresh in hope of partaking. So when we look at the ox as the leader or somebody who is sharing the word, that's what we're saying, is that he, at the same point, that we're not muzzling him, because what they're doing is they're building up a harvest. They're building up a harvest while they're doing this, and that's why I refer to the ox in this way. And this is how it comes in, and we're going to see it was kind of a neat picture here. We're going to go to it here in a second, but Esther's teaching about Abraham. You guys know that Abraham is a type of Christ. When you see that, the 3 days that Isaac carried the wood up, okay, that this was for Yehoshua to read when he was growing up, that he would see this and know that, hey, this means something. This has symbology. We're going to see the same thing here with the ox and how it has symbology and how I showed you there where it shows as a servant. That's one of them, a servant or a laborer. I love this here for the corn there. It was one of my favorite movies. Get that corn out of my face. Okay, flip over back to Proverbs.
Ignacio, where is your rope?
It was stinky. Proverbs 11. Okay, so what we're looking at as we go through here is the... Nobody, if you asked a child, what kind of animal would you be if you could be any animal? You'll never hear somebody say, I want to be an ox. You might be an eagle or a tiger or a whale or something like that. But the ox has such great symbology in the word. And you're like going of steady and strong and powerful. And everything of it is full of worth. Everything from what goes into it and what comes out of it and everything in between is full of worth. Where the horse was not so much. Okay, 24 through 26. Which one of you boys hasn't read yet?
I've read that story.
Okay, do you want to read one?
Yeah.
Okay, 24 through 26 there.
Baal was who scattereth and increased ye more, and who withholdeth what is due, only to come to what?
Want.
The liberal soul shall be enriched, and he that refresheth shall himself also be refreshed. That he keepeth back on the populace will curse him, but there is a blessing for the head of him that selleth.
That's right. And so as we look at this, I'm going to break this down a little bit because it's kind of also one that we have to read. And I'm going to pose something in here to look at it a certain way as I go through this. The liberal or the generous soul shall be enriched. He that refresheth, he that giveth refreshing, if you will, shall himself also be refreshed. He that keepeth back the corn. Now think of this as the corn, and we look at the oxen, or the ox. The ox is the laborer, and the corn is the word. Okay, the corn is the word. And so when we look at this as the corn, he that keepeth back the corn, the populace will curse him. Okay? They may not curse him now, but there'll be a time when they'll be like, I wish somebody would have given me that opportunity, given me that word. He that selleth it, and I think about that, but there's a blessing for the head of him that selleth. Him who is selling the word, not selling it for money, but out selling it. Hey, let me tell you what I have. Let me give this to you. Let me show you. And when we talk about the word, that's exactly what we're doing, is we're selling it. We're not selling it for a price. We're giving it away, but we're selling it so that the person takes it. Because you could come up to anybody and just be like going, hey, let me tell you about the word, and give them the most boring, or tell it to them in a way that they'd be like going, yeah, not interested at all. So what do? We sell it. We sell it. This is how I think about the person who's trying to sell a product. How do they do it? They get excited. They get energized. Why? Look what it's done for me. Holy cow. And all these examples and all these people, and they're selling it. They are selling the word, and the person's like going, hey, you know, I might be interested in that. And that's exactly what we're talking about. And so when I look at that with the corn, that's what I think about as we go through here with what is due to him. He that refreshes shall be refreshed. And the corn, the populace will curse him, but the person who sells it will have blessings upon his head. The ox, okay? Another symbology of a savior. And we're going to see this. We're going to look and see this here. As the ox. The ox was one that was also sacrificed, as I've mentioned before. Oxen were used in sacrifices as peace and sin offerings. Okay? Flip to Judges. Way back. About 267-ish. Page 625, it is on page 267, 25 and 26. Okay, and as we're getting to this, I'll kind of bring us up here. This is Gideon, and Gideon had a messenger come to him before. And so where we're picking it up, the messenger's already talked to him. And we're in 25 and 26 of chapter 6. Okay, and it came to pass, everybody there, and it came to pass on that night that Yahweh said unto him, take the young bullock, which is the ox, that belongeth to thy father, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw thou down the altar of Baal that belongeth to thy father. Now, we got a problem here. We don't know what the bullocks were to be used for, but we do know that his father had the altars to Baal. Okay, and so they did. Idol sacrifices were also meant to go to idols. So they sacrificed things that were meant to go to Yahweh, they sacrificed to Baal. I don't know that for a fact, but take the young bullock that belonged to thy father, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that belongeth to thy father, and the sacred stem that is by it, thou shalt thou cast down. Then shalt thou build an altar unto Yahweh thy Elohim on top of this fort with a pile, and shalt take the second bullock and cause it to go up with an ascending sacrifice with the wood of the sacred stem which thou shalt cut down. Now what we're seeing here is this. The ox had no culpability into this. But here's what they were used for. They're used to physically pull down these altars, to remove them. The ox pulled down the altars of Baal, pulled down the Asherah, that pulled these things down. And then upon the wood that came from them, they got sacrificed upon. And so you think about that. That is another type of, when you look through there and you read this, you're like going, holy cow, here this is, that the ox now is used for this. Pull it, take it down. Basically, it took down the sin, paid for it, and then was consumed on top of it. Okay, and so we see that, and I'm like going, so the ox also is a symbology of a savior. Gideon used to break down his father's altar, sacrificed, atoned for his father's sin. The oxen were burdened to pull down the idols and to use them as sacrifice to save his father from Yahweh's wrath. The ox represents two things Christ did for us on the cross. He broke the bonds of sin and death, and he made atonement for that sin. Okay, and so again, we're seeing this as a different type. The ox was to accomplish things we could not do for ourselves. In other words, carry the burden. We couldn't carry it. We couldn't carry it. So you couldn't even go up there, and this was to be used for. This is what the messenger told him to do. You use these two ox, you pull them down, and this one gets sacrificed upon it, on top of the actual idol itself. Carry the burden. I think about that, you know, with Christ being the burden that he carried, with what he had to carry upon him as a sinless human being, taking all the sin and being put upon him. I'm like, what a huge burden to have that. I can't imagine what that torment would feel like. You know how when you do something and you feel guilty and consumed with that guilt, have that all poured upon you, especially for somebody who it was uncommon. That was not something they knew. He carried the burden of sin and paid the price with his own flesh and blood. And from that, guess what was pulled down? The veil. The veil was torn from the top down. Was torn from the top down. And so it was something new from this. And so that's where you see this there, the symbology of it. The crib or the barn, okay, the symbology of it is your life, okay? This is you. This is what you have. How is your barn or your crib when people look at it? Is it clean? Is there a mess in there you have to do it? I'm like, oh, I know mine's a mess and probably should be cleaner, but I'm like, okay, this is how it is. Clean or full, okay? What's the purpose of the barn? What's the purpose of the crib? It's not a show house, okay? That's how we have to view our walk with Christ and with Yahweh. Is our walk is not for a show place that we can, hey, look at how great my life is and how perfect I am. I have sin, and yet I'm like going, the message that I'm able to say, look what Yahweh's done for me. Look what he's brought me through. Clean or full, to know what it is. And so we think about this where people have false expectations, you know, of I'm gonna have romance my entire life as being married. Couple, and you're like going, ask a married couple who's been married for a little while. Okay, it's work. It is absolute work, and it comes with messes. And yet, people say it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. But yeah, there's messes, and it's a lot of work. Kids, same thing. I want quiet kids. I want kids that pick up after themselves. They're smart. And you're like going, oh yeah, yeah. Same with parents. Same with jobs. You know, you always hear that when the job. I just want to get into a job where I like the people. And I'm like going, You're never going to find that. It's always going to be some kind of irritability, something going on, somebody that you wish, if that person would just leave, I'd have a great job. And then somebody else comes in, you're like going, man, I wish I had that other person. Same with friends. Life is messy, and it's not neat. Okay, and so there are a couple options. We avoid, we become exclusive to where nobody's in, and we don't help or do anything to keep ourselves cleaner, or what our appears to keep a cleaner crib, if you will, or we open it up and we deal with those things and we produce harvest, and that harvest is the reward. That's the fruit at the end of it. The Christian life is messy, but full barn is what we're looking at. This is also the body of Christ that we look at. So when we're doing this to full the barn, to fill it by bringing in more ox, we're able to harvest greater grounds, okay? And so by virtue of that, yeah, this is what Yahweh tells us to do, to go spread the word, to do these things. Avoiding selling it, okay, frugal mess. Dealing with all the mess, okay? A couple things. So when we're looking at it, what are the ways that we can help to deal with all the mess? When we're looking at this, we're looking at a transformation of mindset that we say, okay, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to help, and I'm going to do some of these things. Patience. To be able to listen to somebody when you're listening to them and a person's telling you, well, this is how something is, and you're like, oh, golly, they're so far off. But I'm going to sit here and I'm going to let them keep telling me. And then how do I do this gently to bring them? Because I'm selling it. I'm selling this to them. Patience is required. Long-suffering. Mindset things that we're looking at. A good sense of humor. Holy cow, a good sense of humor goes a long, long ways. If you can break that ice where it becomes tense, and you break that ice, it's almost like a reset button for a laugh. Everybody, you just see that where people are tense and they're fighting, and all of a sudden somebody says something funny and it changes the whole demeanor. Everything changes, and it's a reset. It's an instant reset. Reset to do that. So being able to come into it knowing that, hey, I'm getting ready to go walk into the dew. And, hey, hang tough. Get the big boots on. Yo, here's that. Hold your watch up. It's getting deep in here. Okay, and go into it knowing that. Okay, the other things. Tons of grace and forgiveness that we're able to say we've been forgiven and we're going to help mentor and help bring these people and pull them along. And sometimes you have one ox stronger than another ox, and they may be doing a little bit more of the work. And especially when you go around a corner, the one that's on the inside doesn't have to pull as hard as the one on the outside. And so there's lots of corners. There's lots of curves in life. And we have to be willing to do it and have the patience and long-suffering, walking by the Spirit and have the mindset of Christ. In order to do that, to say, Yahweh, I want to sell it to these people. I want to reach out. I want to fill the barn with even more. I want to increase the size of my barn. I want to increase the size of my oxen and to bring this in. This is harvest that I reap and that Christ reaps. And guess what? All those people, you talk about a pyramid scheme, that's what it is. This just goes out that one person now goes to another, and one person's life that you affect may have a whole pyramid and chain effect on other people's lives as well. I thought this was kind of a neat thing. You see this picture here?
Looks like I fertilized my backyard.
This is Irma Bombeck's "The Grass is Greener Over the Septic Tank." Yuck. Any doubt where the septic lines are? I think you can see exactly where they are. Okay, there's no hiding it. And what is the meaning of that? Because it fertilizes it. It gives it nutrients. And so it's like, I don't want that. That's gross. That's really disgusting. But I'll tell you, every farmer knows out there, if you don't fertilize, your crops will pay. They will pay for it. You won't have the returns. And so this is part of it, that where we look at it, okay, yes, it might be messy. I'm not looking for a mess. But at the same time, I'm not going to shy away. And I know that by dealing with this, I'm going to step into it. But I'm willing to do it, Yahweh. You show me, you guide me, and steer me away from those big piles. Okay, we're going to finish here. This is a little video that I found. It's a motivational one. As you listen to it, there's a few things in there that are a little bit off. Okay, but Think of it as a mindset to go out and to be selling for Christ, and as a servant and a laborer, how to push myself through this. And I thought it was kind of neat. It had good video, and it had a good message, except for a few little spots that were a little bit bizarre, but I'm going to go ahead and play this here.
There is nothing as powerful as a change.
That's T.D. Jakes, by the way.
You can change your hair, your clothing, your address, your spouse, your residence, but But if you don't change your mind, the same experience will perpetuate itself over and over again. Because everything outwardly changed, but nothing inwardly changed. Something out of life. If you want to change yourself, if you want to acquire something, if there's some goal that you want to reach, changing your behaviors, overcoming negative habits, it's challenging. It's hard. Most people go through life never discovering what their talents are. Most people never develop their talents.
The only thing that's going to make you happy, my friend, in this year or any other, is to step up. It's to raise the standard. It's to discover what you're capable of and feel that incredible power pushing through whatever's holding you back and get to the other side of more of your true self. That's what this game's all about.
When you step into your fears and continue to push yourself to go on, something happens for you.
If you look at somebody who's really successful and you think, wow, I mean, they're so amazing, they're such a genius, you gotta dig underneath and you gotta remember something. People are rewarded in public for what they practice for years in private.
If you don't develop the courage to do that which has been given you to do, and you spend a lot of time going around trying to convince other people, trying to get their approval, what will happen is that you will lose your nerve, and other people will convince you that what you are doing doesn't have any value, and you'll give up on your dream. How much time do you have left? How much time do you have left? When you start thinking about that, we don't know. Most of us don't use the stuff that we have brought into the universe. Stop wasting valuable time. If you want something, you have got to be relentless. You've got to learn how to become resourceful. You've got to learn how to become creative. The power to hold on in spite of everything, the power to endure, this is the winner's quality. The hunger, the ability to face defeat again and again without giving up. This is a winner's quality. What this power is, I cannot say. All I know is that it exists and it becomes available only when a man or woman is in that state of mind in which he or she knows exactly what he or she wants and is fully determined not to quit until they find it. There's greatness in you, and you've got to learn how to tune out the critics outside and the critic inside. So I'm going to harness my will. I'm not going to let anything stop. I deserve this. Most people give up on themselves easily. You know the human spirit is powerful? There's nothing that's powerful. It's hard to kill the human spirit. You are unstoppable. Live your life with passion. With some drive. Most of us go for life without lights on. Hold back. Decide that you're going to push yourself. You've got to focus on you. And as you convince you, as you sell yourself, every day, every day, every day, you will begin to see a difference in the things that you're doing. Selling yourself on your ability to perform a job, to achieve a certain objective. Telling yourself every day, here I go again. And I've got what it takes. This is my day, and nothing out here is going to stop me.
Mm-hmm. That's it. And like I said, that's, you think about that through Christ, all that through Christ. That if I have the desire, Christ can also put upon you that hunger and that feeding. And if you don't have it, be interceding for Yahweh. Put that desire, put that drive, put that hunger in me that I may feed it and that I may go out and I may bring in. And everything that you do, you think about that. All these things that you do and you bring in is harvest that you are laying away and treasures that you're laying away for yourself. Okay. What a cool little dude.
That's a good looking haircut.
Yeah.
Joe Deere Tay.
That's right.
What were you that year?
He was cool.
That's right.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and finish here with a closing prayer and then a word as well here. Yahweh, we thank you for every chance that we have to openly confess you, to speak your words, to be able to broadcast the wonders and the greatness that you have, that for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, Yahweh, point them in our direction that we may not waste time, but we may just openly broadcast and just drop those seeds, just as your word says, that the seeds fall out, some will fall good and some will fall and not good. And so we broadcast and we will go out and broadcast and show us where to return to feed and where to fertilize and where to lay time and where to place these things into and the hunger within our lives, that we may become before you to serve you, Yahweh, that every day we sacrifice ourselves, that we pin our sins up on the cross, that we were crucified with Christ, and that through these things we were also redeemed, and that we were made whole with Christ as well, and that we are seated on the right hand, and that we have the power, and that we have the authority. So we thank you for this. Thank you that we are able to come before you and walk in faith, to be well-pleasing before you, and expand our property, just as Jabez had requested, that we expand our territory, and that this territory is for you, and that as we do these things, that we are building upon your kingdom, and upon your foundations, and that we are grateful to be able to know you, and that we call to know you even more, and to be able to increase our relationship and our fellowship and our time. And we know that we can do this to start with just by opening up your book, opening up your word, and studying your word, that as we do these things, as it leads us to you, and it leads us to secrets and jewels that are hidden within, that we are able to uncover these things and apply these things and see these things that you've written, that many have fed off this and have been able to walk wonderful lives and be able to manifest great joy and great light. We thank you for this. We thank you for the words that you speak to us. And we just speak this all through your Son's name, Christ Jesus. My sons and daughters, I encourage you to continually come before me. Come before me and shed off the encumbrances of this age and of this day. Do not come before me thinking that you are hiding or concealing anything, for I have seen and I know all. And of these things that I am also freely and willing and wanting to relieve these things as you confess these things before me, that you are not to carry these things on. It would be as if a child put on multiple winter coats just in case one got torn, and to keep the others inside to be sealed up and protected. For this is not what I call for you to do. I call for you to uncover and to open yourself up and make yourself unto me, that as you do these things, that you will not be vulnerable unto me, that I will show you and I will shine down upon you, and I will give you great favor and wonderful blessings that you may be able to share and be able to be blessed with of yourself and that of your family. So come before me and seek these things, for great things have I laid before you, and greater than you can imagine do I have waiting in store for you and for those who will serve me and walk before me in grace and in honor.